I am ready to go.
Come on. Give it to the new guy.
Dance, Robin.
Yeah, I was not impressed.
That show bores me the heck out. The
Look at you, Justin, connecting the dots.
They've got to cram a lot of really cool stuff into each one.
I like it, the blue bride.
Learning so much right now.
Well, that's my contribution.
Boom. Done.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, the Geek Legacy Podcast is here in full effect. It's kind of a special day right now. Sony just had their big announcement where they are going to announce that they have a PlayStation 4 coming in the future. We can expect it sometime in the holiday season of 2013, probably November. Little is still kind of known about this console. We do know that it is going to be called the PlayStation 4, which is exciting. Because, Steve, I know you didn't want it to be called anything else but the PlayStation 4. It's kind of a hefty machine. It's going to have 8 gigs of memory. A pretty standard CPU, one that all developers like to work with. What else we got going on? A DualShock 4 controller. We saw pictures of that last week where it's going to have that touchpad kind of built into it. It does have a headphone jack, which is interesting. And then that new share button, which we'll get into later, where you can broadcast with your friends and other gamers in real time what you're doing. Another interesting thing that it has is the light bar, which kind of acts as like an additional accessory to it for kind of like a built-in Move capability. So that's exciting stuff. Also, the PlayStation Cloud, since they acquired Gaikai, ultimately you'll be able to stream PS1, PS2, PS3 games to it. All games will be supported by that remote play where you can play your games on your PS Vita, which is also cool. Does that pretty much cover everything that we do know at this point?
Good enough.
I pretty much checked out after about 20 minutes into it. Yeah, it was on my screen, but I don't know about you guys that were streaming it as well, but it got a little choppy.
Pretty much 90% of the cool games that were announced last E3 are going to be on the PS4.
Right.
And that was the big thing, which was kind of a disappointment to me, was they didn't show enough PS4 exclusive games. There was the new Infamous, which looked really good, but that was mostly it, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, as far as exclusively for PlayStation?
That racing game?
Yeah.
Not Gran Turismo?
No, Drivers. Club or something like that?
Yeah.
Drivers.
So I wasn't the only person that was confused by that as well. When I first saw that, I thought it was Gran Turismo, and then they spent 20 minutes talking about how cool it is to race with teams and partners, and that was it.
I definitely like the idea of being able to create challenges, setting the day, the time, the place, the weather, that type of stuff, like conditions. I think that's kind of cool, and then try and come up with the best times, but I don't know how the controls are going to work in that game. Most racing games, if you don't have a steering wheel, then it's kind of bleh. So we'll see how the Move control works on that, the new gamepad, but we'll see.
You probably just use it like a
steering
driver. Yeah, like a steering wheel, unless you buy the $70 accessory or whatever it is.
Gotta have pedals.
Yeah, pedals are rad. You just look like a total jack when you have like a whole steering wheel set up. You know what I mean? You're for that one game that you play, you got this ridiculous rig.
So. Right.
What do you think? Are you blown away? Is it underwhelming?
I mean, I found it pretty underwhelming. I mean, I think they just didn't give the processor and the core and all that stuff. Everything seemed to be pretty much what was rumored for a long time. You know, we all expected it to probably be out near the end of this year for holidays. It would have been great to have seen a price or see what it looks like or just, you know, just a little more information about the actual console itself instead of getting we got a lot of glimpses of games, and it just seems like it seems like they had an E3 press conference before E3, and now they're going to have one at E3 as well. So it seemed like they were kind of double dipping. One of the cool things that they were talking about on there was the ability to wirelessly hand over the controller to a friend. Like if you're having trouble in like a level or something like that, like your friend could sign on to his PlayStation 4 and he could like play the level for you.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of cheesy, but you know, it's kind of a cool concept. You know, there's a lot of ways they could go with that in the future. You know, it's cool that they're trying to bring everyone together. You know, hopefully their online service remains free, but Only time will tell.
I'm sure it will. They have no reason, especially because the PlayStation Plus paid subscription is working really well for them right now.
I like free.
Yeah.
I'll do the cheapskate.
Yeah, seriously. And I like how, for a while, Sony was very against the cross-game chat feature, saying that, you know, their system can't support it. But they kind of have something similar now with that, I guess, built-in spectator mode into the system. Like you were saying, you can either, you know, join in someone's game and either help walk them through it or play for them or just talk to them as they're playing through, which is interesting.
Yeah, I like the idea, too, of the they were talking about recording and editing your own in-game footage.
You know, I really like that, too.
Yeah. I don't know how easy it's going to be. You know, Halo's been doing it for a little while in their games, and it's not the easiest thing in the world. But, I mean, if they can streamline that process, that's pretty cool. You know, I could kill you and then send you a video in, like, 10 minutes.
Right. And I like the idea of the personalization. So it knows based on what I like, it'll know what ads to put on my screen or what games to advertise. I think that's pretty cool. And then also, when one of my friends buys something, I'll be able to know about it. Steam works just like that. You know, it says your friends recently purchased this or that. So then, you know, like if you were kind of on the fence whether or not to get it, now you know that your friends have it. So what the hell, you should get it too. So you can play together.
And the cool thing too is being able to download the game and play it as it's finishing the download, which was another feature they talked about. That's going to be a huge improvement as opposed to the 5-hour download times for just one game. And it's funny because earlier today, I was actually on Twitch watching a guy play Metal Gear Rising Revengeance Super Ninja Fan Mode, whatever it's called.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as he puts the game in, it has a 2-hour update process he has to go through. And watching the guy flip out was the greatest thing I've ever seen. But that's exactly what they're trying to avoid, which I think is really cool. Because like I said, I hate popping in a game for the first time and not playing it for another 2 hours because of updates and stuff.
I'm curious how big the hard drive is going to be, since everybody's all about downloading everything, you know, to the point where you don't even have to leave your house anymore. Just download everything that you want.
I'm sure their low-end model will have the capacity of like a high-end PS3, because what's a PS3 go up to now? Is it 250 or is it above that now?
No, I think it's like
500, I think, is the biggest.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of space. I bet that their base model is a 500 gig then.
Yeah, I'm sure that's where the extra $100 comes in price, or rumored pricing, I guess we should say, will be the 250 versus the 500 gig model.
That's a huge jump, though.
What color is it going to be? I only want one if it's green. If they try to pawn off this unfashionable black on me, I'm not buying.
I kind of like what I'm hearing. I don't think I necessarily, at this point, need to jump out and get one the second it comes out. But I like where it's going. I like what it's capable of.
Right. I mean, I like the press conference. Because you got GDC coming up and you have E3, you know, so in the next, you know, 2.5 months, you're going to have two huge video game conferences. There was no need for Sony to hold a standalone conference, unless they had gotten word that Microsoft was planning to do something in the relatively near future and they wanted to get out in front of it. But, I mean, 2 hours was ridiculous because at E3 we're going to get a lot of the same footage. I'm sure they're going to show Killzone again. They're going to show that the racing game again. They're going to show a lot of the same stuff over again. And it's just going to seem like, you know, well, why did we have this press conference here? You didn't really blow us away with anything earth-shattering that couldn't have waited till April or May for GDC or for E3. I have to imagine that they must have gotten word that Microsoft was planning to talk about something and they wanted to get out in front of it, because this was a pretty, I mean, well-polished and, you know, well-executed conference. It's just they dropped the ball at the end by not giving more details, and it should have waited till May for E3.
I think they want Microsoft to give their price tag first.
Oh.
You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Yeah, I bet you that we will get a price as soon as Microsoft throws down their gauntlet, because they can't throw all their cards out right now, because it's too early, and any innovation that they have might show up on the other console.
The weirdest thing was calling for this press conference, and now everyone knew what was going to be announced, you know, even though it wasn't official, and then they announced this new console within 10 minutes in. You think, all right, this is great. The only problem is they didn't show what it looked like, which was bizarre. And then they, like I said, they showed games that we've already seen or heard of before. The only ones that were big surprises were Killzone, the driving one, I forgot what it was called, and the Infamous. Everything else was already announced for PS3, like Destiny, Watch Dogs, which looked really good, by the way. And then that was it. It was just kind of, I don't know, it was good, but not that great, you know?
Right. You expected, like, Kojima or someone to come out at the very end, like, holding the unit and say, like, PlayStation 4, $499.99, November.
That's either that or they ended the show with just, like, a five-minute montage of, here's all the games that we can't show you in full, but that are going to be announced at some point. And it'd just be this huge montage of, like, all these different games, you know, that you're actually excited for. You bring back guys like Crash Bandicoot that everyone's been asking for years. Like, that would have been great, but they just kind of fell short on that.
Yeah. Or like, God forbid, The Last Guardian.
Oh.
That would have been cool if that was a launch title.
Okay. Well, that's already coming up for the PlayStation 6.
Yeah.
There's rumors. Now, do you guys think that Sony had this press conference because there's so much negative rumors surfacing about the 360? Like, you know, about, like, the can't play used games, always has to be connected to the internet, you can't share your stuff with anybody. Do you think they wanted to, before they got lumped into these negative rumors, just go out there and kind of try to dispel rumors and do like kind of like a very expensive PR move to just kind of separate themselves from the 360 or 720, I'm sorry?
I think they just wanted to get ahead of it for once. I mean, they've always been kind of last at the party. And at this way, they at least have, well, I mean, in this case, they're second if you include the Wii U. But they've already announced when it's coming out. Obviously, we don't know the price or anything like that. But now Microsoft is essentially playing catch-up no matter how you look at it, in the terms of announcing it, I should say. Because there's a very good chance Microsoft will come out and say, hey, remember the PS4? Yeah, this is five times better, and it will be. Because they have time to make some last-minute adjustments, I guess.
Just don't try to play a used game on this. We'll know.
Yeah, exactly. There was a couple of jokes going around that a bunch of GameStop employees were just, like, in the fetal position with a gun in their hand saying, but can it play used games? I need to know.
Right. That's how they make their money.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's GameStop's bread and butter, is the used games.
Did Sony mention today if the PlayStation 4 was going to have a constant internet connection?
I didn't hear anything like that, but to stream all the games, I would assume you would have to, almost, because it's like it's like Steam, I guess, in that case. I mean, does anyone here use Gaikai or did use Gaikai in the day?
No.
Okay, so that, yeah, I figured it would be similar to that service then.
Well, and who doesn't have a constant internet connection?
I think most people do, but I mean, I think there's a lot of places that, like, power goes out, you know, like people who live in, like, rural areas and stuff like that. I mean, it's fine for us because, you know, we live in populous cities, but I mean, you know, I have relatives in, like, BFE in, like, Texas who, you know, they don't have constant internet. It's always a pain to try to, like, talk to them, and I mean, it just seems like a pain if you have to have a constant internet connection. I mean, every day technology is getting better and the internet connections are getting better, but, you know, it could really hinder some people's, you know, playing pleasure if they have to constantly not be able to connect.
But I think with their whole argument was something about the PlayStation isn't going to be the center of your living room anymore. It's you, the gamer, is going to be the center of the entertainment. So that's why you can use your Vita, you can use your phone, you can use your tablet, because you're able to branch off of what Sony can do on your other devices. So I would imagine that you don't necessarily need to have an internet connection. Yeah, if you want to do all the market stuff, but I think if you just want to play a game, then you would be fine. That is to say, if it's installed on your machine, if it's some kind of streaming service, then yeah, you definitely need it. But I would imagine that once it's on your dealio, you should be fine. Because, I mean, when you're a kid, did you ever take your Nintendo to the hotel and hook it up to the back of the TV?
Right.
You know what I mean? While your parents were out doing whatever. So I would imagine that you'd still be able to do that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. If it's the, what do they call it, the PlayStation Cloud, network service, if you were, let's just say you were able to download, you know, PS3, PS2 games onto the hard drive and play them that way, similar to how Xbox and Nintendo already have, then I would imagine some internet connection would be required just to make sure that, you know, the system's accredited and all that, just for security purposes, at least.
Yeah, so it's not like a ripped game or something.
Exactly, because you know Sony's, you know, so great with security.
They learned.
Yeah, let's hope they did.
Yeah. I like that the conference, too, you know, when the PlayStation 2 was announced and they had their conferences, it was all about Blu-ray and, you know, this and that, all these bells and whistles extra. It was kind of refreshing to see their presentation was, you know, a significant portion of it was about games and the developers that are going to make the games for them. And so they kind of made games the forefront. To our past conferences, I really got the impression that games were kind of secondary to all the other cool stuff that, like, the PlayStation 3 would do.
Before, PlayStation was introducing something that your console just doesn't have to play games. It can do this other stuff, too.
Yeah, PlayStation 3 does everything.
Yeah, and now we know that's what they do. That's their branding. We can do everything. We're a one-stop shop. So I think we're past that. Thank God. Anything special that you took away?
I thought it was weird. There's this weird theme about Big Brother watching you all the time. Like, there were two presentations about, like, what if people are watching you all the time?
Yeah, you know what you need to do is you need to be like in Lord of the Rings and put the cloth over the controller. So over cameras doing stuff. When you see your friends playing their game, though, there's like a little camera that showed that girl's face and like the corner of her screen. Mm-hmm. And it's like, holy crap, dude, I got to hide this thing or keep it in the dark or put it in a jar so no one can just spy in my living room.
Yeah, the infamous one was weird because I forgot who it was who walked on stage. And he says one in every three people in this room have been monitored, have been tracked through their phones and stuff like that. Yeah. And I can only imagine everyone in the crowd's looking around like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it seems like it was going to be some kind of protest at first.
Like a raid, like CIA down.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like this wasn't a guy from the company. It was like anonymous or something, and they somehow got into the conference.
Good stuff.
Very strange.
Now, yeah. did they discuss backwards compatibility at all, other than the cloud-based system? As far as like, can I put my PlayStation 3 disc into my PlayStation 4?
It doesn't sound like that's going to be available because they said inherently it's not backwards compatible. So assuming, like you said, you can't put a PS3 disc in, but with the PlayStation Cloud service, I guess that's how they're going to be able to get the backwards compatibility on this, which quite honestly isn't a huge ordeal for me because I have my PS2 sitting right next to my PS3, and I've touched it twice when I wanted to play a PS2 game, and that was it. It's not like, oh man, I wish I could play it here.
I mean, I would never rebuy a game, that's for sure. Like, if I have the ability to enter the barcode as, like, a voucher that I've already paid for it, then that would be wonderful, but I know that will never happen.
Right.
I am a total sucker for those HD remakes. I have, like, 5 of them right now.
Right. Are any of us planning on picking one up at launch?
No. Not happening. I'll wait till the price drops.
Yeah, I'll wait at least a few months, and even then, probably more than that.
Yeah. I mean, I told myself I'd do that with the Wii U, and then I ended up getting one the very next day they came out. And I like to believe that I would do the same thing for the PlayStation 4, but if they're going to have two models, then I might even wait until they just come up with one. Because that two-model crap never lasts. Well, that about does it for our special edition podcast. Thank you for joining us. We wish we could give you more news about the PlayStation 4, but they didn't really tell us anything, so... be sure to check back on our website, geeklegacy.com, for all your PlayStation 4 news and reviews. Thank you.